inextricably linked with the Underground Reich. The intense interest on the part of major political and industrial interests in this renovated Second World War facility is of particular significance in this context. Most of the industrial infrastructure of the former East Germany was bought out and liquidated with enormous resultant hardships for the citizens of that part of Germany shortly after reunification. In contrast, the former IG facility at Leuna was considered a valuable prize. The maneuvering around the Leuna facility and the CDU funding scandal was instrumental in convincing Mr. Emery that the formula was of more than mere literary significance. It convinced him that that fact-based novel would have to be discussed at some future point. The novel The Formula revolves around the formula for a catalyst, the mangan catalyst in the novel, developed by IG Farben as part of its Genesis project. The significance of the project lies in the fact that it greatly improved the efficiency of the hydrogenation process, streamlining Germany's synthetic fuel production capacity and potentially making the hydrogenation process economically competitive with naturally produced petroleum. In the novel, the post-1973 increase in the price of oil makes the formula a pivot point of clandestine intrigue. Consider the significance of the hypothetical existence of such a formula. It would potentially control petroleum-producing countries, including the former USSR and the Middle East oil kingdoms, by threatening their economic foundation, offer the key to manipulating the economies of non-oil-producing industrial economies by potentially freeing them from the need to import oil, control the profit position of the major oil companies, and legally freeing Germany from the need to import oil. IG's successor companies would have retained the right to produce hydrogenation-derived oil. Given the improvements in organic chemistry and other technologies in the years since World War II, it seems unlikely that something like the mangan catalyst or an analogous technological development would not have been developed. In the context of the emphatically hypothetical, interrogatory nature of this program, one should not lose sight of the fact that the world's natural petroleum reserves are limited and will be exhausted within a few decades. The motivation of the petroleum-producing countries and the oil companies themselves to extract the remaining oil from the ground at top dollar before bowing to the inevitable would therefore be considerable under the circumstances. This should be evaluated as one delves into the text and substance of this fact-based work of fiction. Delving into the actual text excerpts of the novel itself, Adam Stifel, played by Marlon Brando in the movie, is the head of a giant oil company called Tidal Oil. Kane is a detective, played by George C. Scott, who is used as a stalking horse by the oil companies in order to eliminate people who are trying to get the word out about the mangan catalyst. And in a confrontation, the following discussion takes place. Stifel walked up to the big glass window and Barney, Kane, sat down in a chair facing the circular desk. "Don't feel too disheartened, son," Stifel said, turning to Barney. "We will manufacture synthetic fuel and in great quantity. We already own most of the coal in the country. We know it's coming. We have the formula, we have the mangan catalyst, and we have the technology. But we must be certain of profit. By 1990, parenthetically, the novel was written in the late 70s, the country will be on its knees to OPEC. The government will then turn to us, and in their desperation, they will ensure our profit position in the manufacture of synthetic fuel." "Nice," Barney said. "Business," Stifel replied. "Just business." He crossed from the window and walked toward Barney. "We are a team of giants nursing the lullaby of the masses." Stifel sat down on the sofa opposite Barney and peered across him in the dim light. "You mustn't think of us as evil, rapacious men clinging to the keys of our numbered Swiss bank accounts. On the contrary, we are a small family of simple businessmen seeking only the tranquil pursuit of profit, and we take great care to bestow sufficient largesse on the masses. Skipping down. "Why," Barney asked, "what's wrong with making America self-sufficient in synthetic fuel?" The old man stared at Barney with a look of total wonder. "Do you honestly expect a $300 billion industry to undermine its own stake in the lucrative scarcity of oil by mass-producing synthetic fuel?" Stifel walked back to his desk and sat down. "We've had that formula in our possession since the conclusion of the war. British intelligence turned it over to our chemists in early 46. We even imported a few German scientists to build pilot hydrogenation plants to be certain the process was economically unsound. We terminated those plants in 56, but, he paused, that was 22 years ago. Things change. The price of crude oil has risen dramatically since 73, making the production of synthetic fuel an economic possibility. The Genesis formula makes it an economic reality. Therefore, we could not risk the formula falling into the wrong hands. And note what else happens. Barney then says, skipping down, what happens when there's no more profit left to squeeze from the citizens, when the whole goddamned world is on its knees? Barney asked angrily. The old man looked up at the ceiling for a moment, then stared at Barney. In that case, the cartel performs its historic duty. We unleash the dogs of war. There are those times when war is both economically and ecologically necessary for the ultimate survival of the species. Imagine that. The petroleum companies precipitating war for capricious reasons? Can't imagine that. Now, by way of wrapping up the program, guess what has been developed? Now, whether this is something that is truly just been developed or whether it was delivered to these people in a plain brown paper bag, I don't know. But the following is from Technology Review, an article by Kevin Bullis, Guess What Has Been Developed. An article titled Clean Diesel from Coal. A novel catalytic method could let you fill up your tank with coal-derived diesel, cutting U.S. dependence on foreign oil. As the cost of oil soars and worries over the U.S. dependence on foreign petroleum escalate, coal is becoming an increasingly attractive alternative as a feedstock to make a range of fuels. Now, chemists have invented a new catalytic process that could increase the yield of a clean form of diesel made from coal. The method, described in the current issue of the journal Science, uses a pair of catalysts to improve the yield of diesel fuel from Fischer-Tropsch, or FT synthesis, a nearly century-old chemical technique for reacting carbon monoxide and hydrogen to make hydrocarbons. The mixture of gases is produced by heating coal. Although Germany used the process during World War II to convert coal to fuel for its military vehicles, FT synthesis has generally been too expensive to compete with oil. Part of the problem with the FT process is that it produces a mixture of hydrocarbons, many of which are not useful as fuel. But in the recent research, Alan Goldman, professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Rutgers University, and Maurice Brookhart, professor of chemistry at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, use catalysts to convert these undesirable hydrocarbons into diesel. Skipping down, diesel fuel produced in this way has several potential advantages. Ordinary diesel contains molecules called aromatics that, when combusted, produce particulates, Goldman says. But the diesel formed by the new catalyst does not include aromatics, so it burns much cleaner, overcoming one of the major objections to diesel fuel. This could lead to more vehicles using diesel engines, which are about 30% more efficient than gasoline engines. But the biggest advantage may be that the United States has huge amounts of coal. Quote, we have as much energy in coal as the rest of the world has in oil. That's enough to last us the next 100 years or so, Goldman says. Thus, a more efficient and less expensive method of converting coal to diesel could significantly cut U.S. dependence on foreign oil and do so for a long time. So, a catalyst has been developed that'll make the hydrogenation process viable. What wonders we are coming across. Who would have thought that? Well, certainly not me. I'm just a crazy conspiracy theorist, and what do I know? This concludes For the Record program number 552. Update on the formula and the standard IG agreement of 1929 being recorded on May 7th of 2006. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Dave. You know, it'd be nice if every once in a while Dave Emery would say, stay tuned for the old Codger next on most of these WFMU stations. But, you know, for all his smarts about politics, Dave Emery is essentially clueless. And I say that as someone who likes Dave, or used to. He promised me 2 months ago now to send me a case of Sly Weezer bourbon, because he's my new friend, because I said some nice things about him, for a change. Well, hasn't arrived yet. He sent me hookers instead. Okay, so I had a little fun with them, but where's the bourbon? Where's the cases of Sly Weezer bourbon you promised me, Dave? If you're listening, he doesn't even like my show. He doesn't listen to this station. is using us. And the station is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. And I'm the old codger Courtney T. Edison here for 1 hour playing 78 RPM records like I'm going out of style, like they're going out of style. Sometimes I feel like I'm going out of style. You know why? Because these, what is this, American Association of Retired Persons, the AARP. You know what they informed me last week? They revoked my membership. They said I outlived their target demographic. They sent me a letter. They said they have no more use for me. Well, it's mutual. Ha! Foy. Thank you.
Hey, God, Lord, I'm living. Hey.
Yeah, that was Frankie Trumbauer and his orchestra with Bix Beiderbecke from 1927. And that was a very rare recording because it had a false start. I'm sure you heard it. You probably heard the song start. Then the band stopped. They were in the studio. They decided they made a mistake. Then they took the second take. The disc cutting machine was running. And they played it the same exact same way. And decided they liked the mistakes. So left it in. It's a very rare version. You won't find that on any of your compact discs or your long playing records or your 8-track tape cartridge cassettes. No. I have a rare acetate from 1927. That's where I got that. It's a Singing the Blues from Bix Beiderbecke and Frankie Trumbauer. I saw that band in 1927 at Toggy Scrotum's renowned Bollocks Tavern. The Bollocks Tavern was the place to be seen that year, 1927. I was seen there with Sophie Tucker many times. We had our picture taken together. Or maybe I was seen with a picture of Sophie Tucker and I was trying to get my act together. I forget I mentioned it. Anyway, Root Edding played there. So did Duke Booties and his questionably sane 7. And Boyd Snifter and his Turpentine 10. Oh, the Bollocks Club, they did turn away business that year. Of course, WFMU has redefined turn away business, been doing it for 5 decades here. Anyway, please, don't leave. Don't go away. I'm trying to retain an audience, unlike some of the disc jockeys here who seem to take a certain pleasure in driving you away, in repelling the audience. Just seeing how repulsive the music can be that they play. I play the good music. So before Frankie Trumbauer, we heard from Earl Burnett and his Los Angeles Biltmore Orchestra. I never saw them perform. That was from 1929. And they did Low Down Rhythm. And the program opened up with the Red Norvo Quartet from 1933, Dance of the Octopus. Well, I'm the old codger, Courtney T. Edison, yes. They did a switch in the schedule. I was not on last week or the week before. That was Mac with the old phonograph hour. I will be on next week, too. They're letting me do 2 weeks in a row to come down here with my shopping cart from East Orange and bring down the 78 RPM records and spin them. So, let's get on with the music now. Here's on the piano, on this piano solo, is Pauline Albert. Thank you.
Monday in school was a day of quiz, and big boy wonder what catty is. Before teacher could then explain, questions begin to fall like rain. What is catty? Big boy asked, what is catty, teacher? I want to know, big boy wonder, what is catty? Stand up to any blow. It's got it deep, it's got it wide, it's got it something that I can ride. What is catty? Big boy asked, what is catty, teacher? I want to know, big boy wanna know, what is catty? Shut your mouth, let me tell you what it's all about. But big boy wouldn't stop at all. Questions again begin to fall. What is catty? Big boy asks, what is catty, teacher? I want to know, big boy wanna know, what is catty? Why feel good? Can catty cut or saw hardwood? Is catty clean or surround by bush? To reach it, do I have to push? What is catty? Big boy asks, what is catty, teacher? I want to know, big boy wanna know, what is catty? Chat too long, you want this thing all the way wrong. Catty is the same old pussy cat that is sleeping on the mat. What is catty? Big boy asks, what is catty, teacher? I want to know, big boy wanna know, what is catty?
Thank you. disappearing when you boogie woogie right. Don't you want to boogie? Don't you want to boogie? If you can't boogie, I will show you how.
Well, you have to admit, the music that I play is better than the other clowns on this radio station, right? And that song just proved it. Helen Humes. Helen Humes is singing the Central Avenue Boogie. And before that was Chin's Calypso Sextet with my old friend Bedasha singing on Big Boy and Teacher. Milton Brown strumming there and plucking on Taking Off, and Pauline Alpert on the keyboard. She was quite a gal. Used to live in Queens, New York, and I used to go out and see her in the 1940s. She used to play in all the clubs, playing piano like that on the karaoke that we heard there. Well, so, yes, even though I play the best music, and I am Courtney T. Edison, the old gadger on WFMU, even though I play the best music, it's not appreciated here by the staff. They're jealous of me. There's all sorts of murmuring about kicking me off the schedule for the summer, replacing me with some young pup. Well, I keep thinking anyway I should take this program to another radio station. So if you work at a radio station where you'd appreciate a man who works hard, who pushes a shopping cart full of 70 RPM records 26 miles from East Orange every 2 weeks and then back. That's dedication. I know some would call it mental illness. It's a fine line. What can I say? But then I wonder if any radio station out there would recognize the high caliber broadcast talent that oozes out of every pore of this liver-spotted body. I hope I didn't just scare you with that vignette. I was speaking, of course, metaphorically. Well, maybe I should stay at WFMU. You remember what Baudelaire said? He said, life is a hospital, and every patient believes he'll be better off if he was moved to a different bed. I say it depends how much you get paid for lying in that bed. WFMU seems to think that the bed itself constitutes payment in full. And you know what? They don't even change the sheets. Well, I'm giving it some thought anyway. Okay, we go back to the music now, to singing Brakeman here, Jimmy Rogers. We got singing a great song, 1928, 29, 27, I forget. It's called A Way Out on the Mountain. Jimmy Rogers.
I'll pack my grip for a farewell trip. Kiss Susie Jane goodbye at the fountain. I'm going, says I, to the land of the sky. Away out on the mountain, where the wild sheep go, and the buffalo low, and the squirrels are so many you can't count them. Then I'll make love way out on the mountain. Holy, 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 holy. When the north winds blow and we're gonna have snow, and the rain and the hail comes bouncing, I'll wrap myself in a grizzly bear coat, way out on the mountain. Holy, 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 holy. The vile and the zebras wild, and the beavers paddle on walking cane. Then I'll send my boots with the buffalo hide away out on the mountain. Will sing me to sleep at night, and the eagle roost on the rocks of Spontane. I'll feast on the meat and the honey so sweet, way out on the mountain. Holy, 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 holy.
Got a gal, she's all wet. After everything she can get, I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wants money. I was afraid of that. She's got a way that I can't stand, calling me her monkey man. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just want money. I was afraid of that. I met a gal who was hot. Hello, Papa, how much have you got? I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wanted money. I was afraid of that. Caught a train down to Tennessee. While I was going, my baby trifle on me. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wanted money. I was afraid of that. I went to see this place, had the blues. While I was going, my baby drank my booze. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wants money. I was afraid of that. Have no mention, lived in a shack. Thought my loving would bring her back. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wants money. I was afraid of that. She's a kitchen mechanic. That's her trade. She had the best brown Betty that ever was made. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wants money. I was afraid of that. Some folks don't know what a good gal is. You ought to see that gal when a braid have with. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just wants money. I was afraid of that. Ashes to ashes, sand to sand. Show me a woman wouldn't drop a shuck on a man. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. She just want money. I was afraid of that. I've been to Frisco, been to Maine. Every place I go, all women the same. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that. They all want money. I was afraid of that.
I saw a fella in a padded cell. Now he looked just as sane as he could be. When I asked how he got there, he really couldn't tell. So I thought I'd solve the mystery. I spoke to him and gee, how mild he seemed. But when I mentioned women, he just screamed. Women! The only cause of my despair. Women, ah, women, ah. Pardon me, you'll have to tear my hair. There, I never cut out paper dollies in bed. My mother never let me fall on my head.
It wasn't liquor.
No, no, no.
Money?
Oh, no, but women.
Doing right when I work all day and you stay out all night. You ain't got nothing there, in fact, you ain't nowhere. If you think I'm gonna cry when I know you're high, and so am I. You ain't got nothing there. In fact, you ain't nowhere. Makes no difference what you do when we're far apart. But when we're together, you gotta look out for my heart. Oh, if you think that I'm a fool and I didn't learn nothing when I was in school, you ain't got nothing there. In fact, you ain't nowhere. But when we're together, you gotta look out for my heart. Oh, if you think that I'm a fool and I didn't learn nothing when I was in school, you ain't got nothing there. In fact, you ain't nowhere.
Well, I thank the young people who are calling the radio station to tell me I should continue doing the radio show here at WFMU because they like me. Somebody called me Rex. He says, "Hi, Rex, I know who you are." I'm like, "Who?" He thinks, "My name is Courtney. Courtney T. Edison, the old codger." "Not Rex, who's Rex?" And then he called me Clark Kent. Well, I remember him. That was Superman. I was old back then when those comic books were out. Anyway, I'm sorry, because you talk about the music. The music, yes. That was Louis Jordan before the Timpani Five. It was sometime in the late 1930s. And a song called "You Ain't Nowhere." You ain't nowhere. Irving Aronson and the Fierce Axe. Before that, did Women. Ah! Besides, Blind Blake and the Hokum Boys did "I Was Afraid of That." Jimmy Rogers did "A Way Out on the Mountain." So this Courtney on WFMU, you can call me, but you know, do not write me the computer mail, because I do not have a computer. I don't read the computer mail, so don't. I never see it. They tried once; they printed out something for me that somebody sent on the computer mail, on the internet, and I didn't know what the hell it was talking about. So I ripped it up and threw it away. You can call me if you want. You can call me this weekend at home. I'm not doing anything. I'm staying home. Want to give me a call? Give me money. It's okay. Just chat if you want. Then give me money after we chat. Well, anyway, I'll give you my phone number, my home phone number, I guess. The other disc jockeys don't do that. I do it because I trust you, that you won't bother me and you won't give my telephone number to the telemarketeers who call and try to sell you something. Remember, do not call me and try to sell me something. I'd rather you call me and give me money. Anyway, here's my phone number. You can call me in my bunker in East Orange, okay? You got a pencil? The phone number, it's the same phone number I've had since 1892. That phone number is 6. Okay, if you didn't write it down, I'll repeat it. Yeah, okay, great. Get that pencil. Come on, I'll repeat the phone number. Okay, I'll wait. Okay. I'm going to hum something to myself, maybe. Some old tune. Well, okay, you're back. Anyway, let me repeat my phone number for those of you who didn't get it the first time. The phone number is, my home phone number is 6. So feel free to give me a call sometime, and we can chat, and then you can give me money. Well, you know, I've got 15 minutes left. Where did the time go? I've hardly played any music. Well, let me play some great Latin music from one of the great Latin orchestras, Desi Arnaz and his orchestra. Here's a great tune. He's going to be singing on it, too.
Matumba que dice bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Y mi rumba matumba que dice bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Y mi rumba matumba que zumba bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Y mi rumba matumba que dice bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Oye mi chemucarada, oye mi tonada, rumba matumba para ti. Oye mi linda bocuta, mi niche boruca, rumba matumba para ti, para ti, para ti. Oye mi rumba matumba que dice bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Y mi rumba matumba que dice bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Y mi rumba matumba que zumba bururu kung fu bururu kung fa. Y mi rumba matumba que dice bururu kung fu bururu kung fa.
What's the trouble? What are you crying about?
I'm all broken up. My girl thrown me over.
Yes, I understand she did throw you over. She told you that you must forgive and forget.
That's my trouble. I've always been more forgiving than forgetting.
Oh, well, now, don't cry. Don't cry.
A year ago, I met that girl and fell in love at sight.
You sure were more than pals or friends, together every night.
Well, I bought her several presents with the money I had saved.
You worked a lot of overtime to get the things she craved.
But now somehow we drifted far apart.
Well, don't worry, Bill. She'll have a change of heart.
Well, I don't know. She is gone. Let her go.
Well, you're okay, and I should know.
But she'll never find a fella like me.
Ah. Don't you cry and don't you care.
Let her travel anywhere. She'll never find a fella like me.
You know, I couldn't name a gift you didn't bring.
I got her simply everything.
She still got your diamond ring.
Well, let's not speak of that.
For a time, things were swell.
It's all over, ding dong dell. She'll never find a fella like me. Uh-huh. We never had a quarrel, and what caused this I can't see.
It seems to me you both agree that you must disagree.
Why, she'd even kick if I should chance to be 2 hours late.
I'll bet she even would complain if you should have a date.
You know, one day we saw a picture called The Sheik.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And ever since that day, you never speak.
That's right. She is gone. Let her go.
Well, you can cook and you can sew.
But she'll never find a fella like me. Now take that from me.
Don't you weep, don't you fret.
Well, she'll repent and she'll regret. She'll never find a fella like me.
She borrowed dough from you to pay her rent.
And didn't give me back a cent.
Well, now I know what Barnum meant.
Well, let's not speak of that.
Now you're free, all is clear.
Hail, 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 the gang's all here.
She'll never find a fella like me. She's gone, let her go. You're not fast, but not too slow. She'll never find a fella like me. Just feel great, you just laugh. I tore up her photograph. She'll never find a fella like me.
She has that kind of skin you love to touch.
Ah, that is how I got in Dutch.
Those things never get you much.
Well, let's not speak of that.
Well, let her go far and wide. I enjoyed the buggy ride. She'll never find a fella like me.
Your meat's neat ballin' and your greens kinda rough. There's a gristle in your chops. I mean they're hard as wood, but Lord, ain't the gravy good. Your biscuits ain't hot, your cobbler ain't sweet. Your jam ain't got the kind of rhythm it's very mean. Your tea's percolating as your coffee should, but Lord, ain't the gravy good. Got the right kind of pepper, just salt enough. The combination is very sufficient. The season is mellow with spice and stuff. It goes to my head just like a drink of wine. I don't like your bread, your chicken is old. Your beans is beef, but your cabbage is cold. Your pastry need a hammer, that is well understood. But Lord, ain't the gravy good.
garden was a red tomato, surrounded by some bush. And to reach that red tomato, you always have to push. My red tomato, my ripe tomato, you can pick my tomato, that is, if you have the right size stick. The bushes were very stubborn, wouldn't let the red fruit go. They say anyone to pick that fruit, then the right size stick must show. So, my red tomato, my ripe tomato, you can pick my tomato, that is, if there was the right size stick. Try their best to pick that golden fruit, but they push a smile and say quite quick, mister, you haven't got the right size stick. So my red tomato, my ripe tomato, you can pick my tomato, that is, if you have the right size stick. A moment did he lose. He traveled to the garden to try his luck. That red tomato he would like to pluck. So, my red tomato, my ripe tomato, you can pick my tomato, that is, if there was the right size. The tomato plucked very quick. The bush said that was a perfect take. You didn't even give me time to shake. So, my red tomato, my ripe tomato, you can pick my tomato if you have the right size.
Well, I like that group so much, and I brought it along to 78. I've Chin's Calypso Sextet, and I flipped it over and played the B-side. Right there, that was called Red Tomato. For that, Cootie Williams and his Rug Cutters did Ain't the Gravy Good. The Happiness Boys did You'll Never Find a Fellow Like Me. And Desi Arnaz and his orchestra did the Rumba Matumba. Well, I just want to say, I'm the old codger Courtney T. Edison on WFMU, and that, personally speaking, I read the news, I see what's going on, and I'm not worried about the price of a barrel of oil or gasoline. You see, I don't have a gas tank on my shopping cart that I push here from East Orange along Route 280 to come to WFMU. And as for heating my home, even though it's still cold out, where's the global warming they were talking about? Anyway, years ago, I was given this huge collection of 33 and a third records by a neighbor, and I hate them. I won't play them. But the petroleum content of these polyvinyl discs is very high, and it's also very fuel efficient. So I have been burning these vinyl discs, I don't care about them, for years, and they heat my bunker very nice. And I don't need to pay the oil man for deliveries, and I don't have to worry about the Arab terrorists in the Middle East turning off my oil spigot, because I don't need it. And these Arabs, they can go to hell with their oil. They can swim in their crude. For all I care, they can drink it. They can charge $600 a barrel for it, just as long as the terrorists don't come and try to take my Victrolas. Because if they do, they'll have a battle royal, because I am armed with boxes of these shards from broken 78 records. I saved them for self-defense, and I can pitch them with great accuracy. I may be old, but I've lost nothing off my fastball. Anyway, I'll be back next week in this time slot playing 7 RPM records like they're going out of style. Yes, Corty T. Anderson on WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope. You stay tuned for Sharpie. Sharpling. Yes, Tom, stay tuned for him.
Radio show ever.
Hey, who's this?
Mark.
Well, I am Buddy Swales, governor of Alabama.
Hi, it's Gerald Perlmutter.
Tom Sharpling, governor of party.
Hey, Tom, it's Purple Sir.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Michaels.
This is Richard Clark from Chicago.
What's your name?
Barrington.
Barrington. And well, what's inside the tube?
Fire. Why? Maurice Kern?
Horrifying.
Hey, Tom, it's Bruce.
Tommy!
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis.
Yes,
they have Rick Maloney at the Wawa. I go to
what?
I hate you.
It's Peter.
Hey, it's Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
Roger Devil.
My name is Ollie Farinacci.
I'll say it. You'll hear it. You'll do it. I'll get it. You'll learn it. I'll live with it and you'll die without it.
Smash your trash.
Derek, I'm calling from your call.
Good day.
What's up, Tom? This is Tristan.
Hey, it's Michelle.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jim Riffle. How you doing?
When I get to do the toilet talk now.
The vaudeville of the new century.
My name is Tom Riley. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Hey, man. Right.
Ted, don't stand with that. It's a tentpole. This is a tentpole show.
Hey, this is Ted Leo.
What?
This is Petey from the future.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
Hey, from Knoxville.
Super caller.
It's Officer Tom.
My name is Mike Sajak.
Get off my phone. I don't care.
Hey, this is Zippy Pants, man.
I'm going to go to bed now, Father.
Hey, Tom. It's Gord.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I was in a band in the early 90s. My name is Jerry Page.
Tom, my name is Jeffrey Lou. It's a fat, diseased, wild orangutan, isn't it?
The disenfranchised have a home now. I'm the hero of the disenfranchised.
Oh.
came to pass.